listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 VR Waukesha.
This is CBS News on the Hour. Presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Americans may have been killed or could be among the hostages being held in Gaza after Hamas launched a surprise attack against Israel.
There has been little information about the fate of dozens of Israelis who Hamas gunmen kidnapped and took to Gaza. These include women, children, and even 85-year-old Yaffa Adar, as her granddaughter tearfully told journalists after Hamas released video of the elderly woman being taken to Gaza.
I cannot even start to imagine how scared, terrible she was. She's sick. She has no medicine with her.
Hamas says it wants to exchange the kidnapped Israelis for Hamas prisoners in Israeli jails. Linda Gradstein for CBS News. Jerusalem.
The brazen assault stunned Israelis. Associate fellow with the Middle East and North Africa program at the Chatham House, Yossi Meckelberg.
The security forces were worried about a flare-up in the West Bank. It left the south exposed, and these things that in due course will have to be investigated.
Some Republicans are claiming billions released to Iran to free imprisoned Americans helped fund the attack. Blinken appeared on NBC.
Not a single cent has been spent from that account. When any money is spent from that account, it can only be used for medical supplies, for food, for medicine. And those who are saying otherwise are either misinformed or misinforming. And it's wrong either way.
Tourists will be allowed back into the wildfire-ravaged area of Maui, angering some residents. Councilwoman Tamara Paulton.
We need certain things to be able to open to tourism. You know, we need stability of housing. We're not machines.
There's a new CBS News poll about who will become the next House Speaker after Kevin McCarthy was ousted. CBS Deputy Director of Elections and Surveys, Jen DePinto.
The American public wants a House Speaker who will work across the aisle and try to cut spending, and not someone who will try to impeach Joe Biden. House Republicans and their rank and file want some different things. Most of the nation's Republicans do seek bipartisanship, but more, almost three quarters, want a speaker who will try to impeach Biden, and a majority also wants someone who'll be loyal to Donald Trump.
More than 2,000 people were killed in an earthquake in Afghanistan. The BBC's Yogita LeMay.
A 6.3 magnitude earthquake shook western Afghanistan on Saturday morning. There were at least three powerful aftershocks. Photos and videos coming in from villages near Herat City show homes reduced to rubble and people trying to dig survivors out from under mud and stones.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new poll suggests most Americans are getting more comfortable with wind turbines, but as Mike Moan reports, local opposition is still a factor when new wind farms are proposed and developed.
The Washington Post University of Maryland poll finds 75% of Americans wouldn't take issue with a solar farm being built in their community. There's a similar result for wind farms. Josh Hone, who does consulting work for these projects with the firm Stantec, says it indicates a growing acceptance of what needs to be done to respond to climate change. But he says at the local level, these are land use decisions that can get the attention of the community.
Certainly there's an opportunity, there's a financial incentive to have them, but every project has a trade-off, especially in terms of aesthetics and the idea of community character, which I think is at the heart of a lot of opposition, or at least in terms of the rhetoric.
Hone says local leaders and developers need to be transparent right away about the scope of a project. He suggests this can help overcome backlash that sometimes can be clouded by misinformation. A study this year from Columbia Law School found at least 228 local restrictions across 35 states designed to limit such development. Owen also says stakeholders can do a good job in selling these projects by appealing to landowners.
There are many communities and many deals being made across the country that are really benefiting individual property owners, farms, to stay in the hands of the families who have had them for generations. And so there's a legacy to that.
He adds a careful approach is especially important right now as more federal support comes on board, potentially spurring development at a quicker pace. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Everybody, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda, and here is today's episode. Folks, how's it going? Welcome to the Cripes Cast. Before we dive in, I just want to let you know I'm playing in Wichita, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, Evansville, Indiana, and Las Vegas. This is all coming in the next couple weeks. I can't wait to see you on the road. I hope I see you there, your bright shining face, and I hope on your way you do watch out for deer because the rut is on. Bow season started just last week, Kelly. Did you know that?
What's the difference between that and other things? Like what's a bow, like the bow and arrow?
Yeah. Hunting a deer with a bow is in season in Wisconsin.
Is that your preferred method?
That's my preferred method. You look like you've done some bow hunting. You got the bib overalls on today.
I knew you went to a farm this weekend to put up like a barn, so I decided to do farmer chic this week.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't put up a barn there.
What'd you do at the farm?
Well, I had some fun with a few buddies of mine. Yeah, we went out there and we just had ourselves a good old farm time.
Nice.
So we were actually at Apple Fest outside of Gaze Mills. My buddy has a farm outside there. And oh my gosh, those apples are, they are good. I'll tell you, they're in season right now.
Is it Honeycrisp?
Honeycrisp. What do I look like? I'm from Illinois. What's going on?
Did you know that Honeycrisps are actually from the University of Minnesota?
Are they really?
They were engineered there.
Engineered. I don't know what kind of apples these were. Honeycrisps are really good. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's what I usually get. But these are like candy. Mm. Candy apples without the candy on top of them.
Yeah,
they're really good. So, went over to my buddy John's farm and just hung out. It was just a good time to relax. Slept in a tent. It's good to sleep in a tent every now and again.
I feel like I get the best sleep in a tent.
Yeah, I could be hit or miss on that. But either way, like even if I don't get sleep, I feel like I wake up refreshed.
Right. It's so cold.
Or just because I'm probably going to be hiking the next day, you know, and I feel like you don't have any other option.
Yeah.
There's no phone. Too. That was nice. Phone really drains you. Sucks it out of you.
It does.
Folks, this week I am talking with Kyle Kinane. He is a very, very funny comedian. You actually may know his voice. For a while, he was the voice of Comedy Central, telling you South Park's coming on next. But anyway, he's coming to the Pabst Theater on October 7th. His tickets are at kylekinane.com. Check him out. He's got a new stand-up special out. It's also hilarious. He's got two podcasts, No Accounting for Taste and Boogie Monster Podcast. And if you want to follow him, it's at Kyle Kinane.
Yeah.
K-I-N-A-N-E, just in case anybody's not good at spelling out there. But we bonded over a lot of things, I will say, me and Kyle. Kyle comes from the Chicago suburbs, but thankfully he's not a Bears fan. And by the way, I'm sorry to all the Bears fans. It's been a rough season. But didn't Taylor Swift go to a Bears game?
Taylor Swift went to a Bears Chiefs game, and it is like my favorite thing in the entire world.
Is it really?
I really love Travis Kelce, and I love his podcast with his brother. And I think they're just like, I love.
Wait. Did you know what Travis Kelce was before Taylor went to the game?
Yes.
Oh, how'd you know him?
because him and his brother have a podcast called New Heights. And then Super Bowl last year.
Oh, okay.
It was like the Kelce Bowl.
Okay.
And then like I knew him that season. Like that's when I got to know him.
I see. Okay.
And then I already have loved his clips with him and his brother. And then there were rumors, the podcast I listened to was talking about that there were rumors that they were dating. And I'm like, all for it.
Oh, because you're a real Swiftie.
I'm not like totally Swiftie. I wasn't like a few years ago because like she dated Harry Styles and that like
that's
is my
the love
man.
Of your life. Yeah.
But I am a big fan of hers and I'm excited to see her movie. But then also
she's got a movie?
Her tour that she's on right now. The Eras Tour is literally going to theaters next week.
Right.
Or something.
Yep.
But anyway, I just think she needs to go for an all-American man. And I think he's the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you even care?
I don't give a but sorry. Do we have to beep that out?
Yeah, you're fine. He's hot, and I think she's hot, and I think that's great.
Yeah, no, I'm super, super happy for them both. let's see here. What else? Oh, the Packers are looking good.
Yeah.
Enough about the Bears talk. The Packers. Holy smokes. What a comeback. What a comeback. And what a terrible kick by the Saints at the end of the game. I feel bad for the kicker.
Just missed her.
Actually,
are you going to any Packers games this year?
Well, okay. I wanted to go to the game this past Sunday because it was, you know, first game at Lambeau of the season. Mm. The old Lambeau opener. Couldn't do that because my sister decided to schedule baptism on that day.
Yeah.
You know, and then my other sister decides to schedule her rehearsal dinner for a wedding on Thursday when the Packers are playing the Lions. I'm like, I don't know who raised these kids.
Let's call it Molly really quick.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very fun though. It was fun watching my little nephew Caleb get baptized because he was mad about it too. He's like, why are we doing it? He cried the whole time. There were three babies up on stage or whatever they call it. And he was just having a fit the whole time. Just crying up a storm. Why? Because we were doing this during the Packers game. He didn't know the score. I knew the score the whole time.
Were you watching it
in the pew? You got it. That's how you do it. God sanctions that though. He's cool with that.
Oh.
Yeah. Talk to him about it before the game.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you were praying for them to win, you also were like, is this also chill?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, sure.
Yeah, I check every time I do it.
Okay.
Just to make sure.
Cool.
The rules.
You either check it's no, or you confess after. Is it better to ask permission or for forgiveness?
Yeah, I suppose we got both options in Catholicism.
Well, that's exciting. And I'm glad that was, Bridget was telling me she's the godmother. So
yeah,
her and I went and played pickleball.
Did you? You hang out with my sister more than I do.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, she's really good.
She never invites me to play pickleball.
You're so welcome to join us.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Maybe I'll do that one time. That'd be fun.
Yep,
should we get to the conversation with Kyle Kinane?
Please.
All right, let's do it. So how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I just got off the road yesterday for a couple days, so.
Yeah, where were you yesterday?
That run was Michigan, then New York, then Spokane and Boise.
So not super well routed, shall we say.
No, I did a real bad job with the routing this fall because I said yes to a lot of stuff without looking at the calendar. And I'm like, I don't want to cancel. So, all right, I guess I'm going to go from Humboldt County, California to Milwaukee.
Next week, I think I'm going from Reading, Pennsylvania for a one-off show to Vegas. I don't know why I'm doing that. But other than, you know, I know why I'm doing that. It's the exact same reason you said. I get the offer. I'm like, that looks good 6 months before, you know, when it's spring.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. It'll work out. I'm sure somebody's got direct flights from Reading to Vegas, right? Because everybody loves Vegas.
Shocker. No, there's not even an airport there. Not even Philly can you get a direct flight. You been to Vegas? You done Vegas a lot?
I did Vegas. That sounds like you fly Spirit Airlines. Spirit Airlines, no matter where you're going, is going to send you to Vegas somehow. Like, I just need to get from like North Carolina to like Boston. All right, how about 9 hours in Vegas? And you're like, well, that's ridiculous. Flight's only $32. You're like, all right, you know.
That's it. That's the conspiracy. We figured it out because in Vegas, they got those slot machines. Spirit must own those slot machines. That's how they can afford the cheap flights. That and the $25 water.
I was talking to somebody about like how MGM got hacked. I don't know the whole story, but like they got the casino got hacked and there it was like one of those, they were holding them hostage. And I was like, it's kind of hard to feel sorry for a casino that got done over. Like, oh,
yeah,
the house always wins. It's nice when they don't. It's pretty nice when they don't.
See, that's what hackers just have to keep in mind. It's just go after somebody nobody feels sorry for, you know?
Yeah. I got my my debit card hacked like 3 times in a couple months. This was years ago when everybody's PIN was like 1234 or 6969. I got held up the same month. I got robbed at gunpoint the same month my debit card got hacked 3 times, and I had more respect for the guys that came at me with the gun because I'm like, at least you're like, you know, you're putting in the work. You're earning it. You're earning this. You're taking a risk.
There's a lot of, there's jail time. There's living with the possibility of, you know, murdering someone. And even if you're a murderer, that's got to weigh on you, you know?
I think it just blue collar versus white collar appreciation. You know, I'm like, this guy got out here tonight. This guy made it happen for himself.
Dude, that's the acoustic robbery right there. You know?
Yeah. That could be a stagecoach style. I appreciate it. And I got held up in the same place my car had been towed from. So also the city of Los Angeles got more money out of me than the guy with the gun did.
Whoa. So you got your car towed. And you got robbed at the towing facility?
No, I left a bar with my buddy and we couldn't, I'm talking 20 years ago and we were throwing them back, you know?
Yeah.
And I were like, I swear to God, we parked around here. I swear, we were both like new to Los Angeles. Like, you know, like you don't pay attention to signs. I'm like, I swear the car's around here somewhere. And then we get robbed. And then we're like, oh, that sucks. All right, let's just get out of here. And I'm like, oh, I think we got towed. Like, it was afterwards that I realized, like, oh, and the car got towed. We're trying to get the car out. And like, we need a credit card. I'm like, well, funny story there, buddy.
So you got robbed and extorted on the same night.
Yeah.
And no credit card.
You know, it's that's how you make your bones when you move to Los Angeles to be a comedian.
Where did you start doing mics and stuff in Chicago, or how'd you get your start doing it?
I started there. I started doing open mics in Chicago, and then it's fine because now living in Oregon, I see like the same element of like this, like the promoters, like there's good promoters and good shows, and then there's just guys that have driven to every bar in an 80-mile radius and promised to put on a show regardless of quality. Like, because they're getting like $300 to put on the show, and they're giving all the comics maybe $20 each and like a bar tab.
Yeah.
And so many shows just going to Rockford, going to work in Milwaukee. I don't know if like the comedy cafe in Milwaukee. I don't know if you ever worked that place.
No, that's gone now. That was the one that was under the strip club, wasn't it? Or was that Giggles?
I think that was Giggles.
Something. There was one like under the strip club. I forget where the comedy cafe is not there anymore. Now Milwaukee's got an improv, which is in Brookfield, and then the Laughing Tap, which is in the...
Yeah, you got legit stuff. This was like run by like a big Samoan gangster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, guy was terrible. There's always like these rumors. Like, I'm even scared to talk about it on a podcast.
You guys send me an email, take that part out.
Like, hey man, listen, let's just retape this and act like I never brought it up. All these stories about like him paying people with like a gun on the desk and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I remember working there. He's like, he had like a Cadillac with spinny rims, like a pearlescent Escalade with spinny rims, and he'd take you out to the steakhouse after the first show. Like, Yeah, best steak you're ever going to have. You like shrimp? Best shrimp you're ever going to have. And this place, they was open after, like, they were closed, but they stayed open just so this guy could bring the comedians over. So you're like, this guy does feel a little plugged in. This does feel a little bit special. And I'm going to agree that it's the best steak because I'm afraid to disagree with this guy.
Yeah, Milwaukee's got, like, some interesting, you know, like, mafia and is sort of organized crime ties, you know, and like all the, what I like about Wisconsin is like all the Chicago gangsters back in the day, Al Capone, John Dillinger, those guys would come up to Wisconsin to like vacation or something, you know, or have their hideouts. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Milwaukee always feels like that's where the true Chicago alcoholics go to retire. Like, I still want to sit in a bar. I just don't want all this youth around me. Like, I still, right. Like, I don't know if Wolski's is still open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. You ever close that place? Get the bumper sticker?
I got the sticker. Yeah, nice. I got the sticker. I was proud. I'm that I don't know where the sticker is now. But I think I put it on an old file cabinet somewhere. But,
you know, yeah. We can, you got to just come up and close it again, you know?
The box of wigs that was in the corner. I was with friends, like, we found this box of wigs. I'm like, man, don't put on those wigs. Don't put on. I'd rather see you find a possum in the street and put that on your head than a weird bar. Just share needles at this point if you're putting on random bar wigs.
The old bar wig box, you know?
Yeah, I was like, take a shower when we get back to the hotel.
Yeah, it's probably more likely used as a merkin than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, this is touch. There's so much lice. You're going to get ticks from this thing.
So what was your main spot like coming up in Chicago? What was the main place you'd play?
The only club was Zany's at the time.
Yeah.
This is like the turn of the century, which is a phrase I can use.
Yeah.
Which feels weird to be a part of a turn of a century.
Kind of cool though. I haven't heard anyone really say it like that, but I like that. Yeah.
Back in the turn of the century. Yeah, it was Zany's, but Zany's wasn't really like, I don't know. They weren't like, you kind of had to, I don't know. To me, it felt like you had to jump through a lot of hoops to work over there. So this other scene came up, which I'll take a chance to plug. My buddy Mike Bridenstine wrote a book about that era of Chicago comedy, because it was kind of like, that's what put out like Kumail Nanjiani, Pete Holmes, TJ Miller. Everything was like the early 2000s scene, and it kind of developed. Not as a direct result of Zany's not really, but people were just like, we got to make our own thing.
Yeah.
We got to make our own scenes. Like Mark Geary, who runs the Lincoln Lodge. I don't know if you've ever been through that way. And then Lion's Den was the big open mic on Mondays. Like that was the show everybody got excited for, was this open mic on Mondays.
Really? And it was called the Lion's Den, or the show was, or the bar?
No, the bar was called Lion's Den. Yeah.
Got it. Now Lion's Den is like, it's the porno and CBD store in, you know, you see those ad.
Oh, it is like, the Lover's Lane or the.
Yeah.
I did, the truck stop. What's going on in those places that they're still selling magazines? Is that who's?
So they've diversified their business. You'll be happy to know.
Okay.
And they've got the, now it's erotic films in Wisconsin cheese and CBD. It's the CBD products. You know, they've got like the Delta 8s that like get you messed up on like God knows what they're putting in that stuff.
Dude. Oh, the pure synthetic, way worse for you than weed type.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's ooh, like, loophole drugs. That sounds safe.
Seriously. Like Wisconsin's so weird. It's the only state in this general vicinity that hasn't legalized weed. So what they have is just this like gotta be terrible for you Delta 8 stuff, which, you know, I don't know what's in that stuff, but I can't imagine that historic, you know, they're gonna look back on and say, oh yeah, that was a good idea, you know.
Well, I remember going past it into Oklahoma and seeing I thought it was a weed shop, and they were trying to like gear up for when it would become legal, but it was all that Delta 8 stuff. But it's also Oklahoma. So the weed shop guys also were like strapped up, like had guns on.
Yeah.
And them struggling to explain the science behind Delta 8. Like, well, they've just chemically extrapolated the essences of the cannabinoid into this fractalized realization. You're like, I'm not going to buy it. So don't even want save your couple of brain cells rubbing together up there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here just for the explanation alone. Yeah. One guy who's telling me about it pulled out a chart. I'm like, how do you know what's in that stuff? He pulled out a chart from the impurities in it, so you can see just how much lead is in this stuff. You know, trace amounts of that and formaldehyde or whatever.
But also it comes with rust proofing. So it's really, why wouldn't you buy?
Yeah. I mean, you want rust on your liver, dude? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's good for you. That's actually good. PVC is good for plumbing. Why wouldn't you want to ingest it? Kind of coat your organs. Yeah, that was I wonder why Wisconsin's dragging their feet. Everybody else is cool with it.
I don't know. I think some to do with maybe the Tavern League, or like our politicians are pretending that weed is worse than booze somehow, which come on. We're just missing out on tax revenue is what we're doing.
I'm saying your snowmobile decapitation rates. I'm not going to say they're going to plummet, but I think they're going to get a little lower.
People are going to go more along the. I mean, if you're stoned on a snowmobile at dark, you're going 15 miles an hour max, dude. You're looking out for the Yeti at that point.
Yeah, you know? Everything is barbed wire. Yeah, everybody is somebody. Yeah, like farm fence going across the field.
Yeah, it's crazy. Are you a Bears fan?
Oh man, I'm such a non-sports guy. I'll show you. This is what I got made. I'm not a sports guy at all. But I got this hat made just to answer.
Chicago suburbs.
Just to answer, like, well, what part of Chicago? And like, I'll just start wearing his hat around.
Did you make that?
There's a company that like does the embroidery. So I'm like, oh, they do the sports fonts. I'm like, all right, yeah, just have it say that.
Do you sell those or?
No, this company just made them. I think I think I'm leaving money on the table, but it was a one-off.
Is that kind of the vibe of a lot of Chicago suburbs where they're not really into any of it or?
Oh no, I just didn't grow up with the sports. I mean, everybody's got some claim to it because you know you travel enough, which I'm sure. Are you Milwaukee proper? No. What do you tell people? Where are you from?
I get you. Yeah, I do the same thing for Milwaukee because I'm from the suburbs of Milwaukee. I think you know, kind of like born in Milwaukee and then moved out to one of the suburbs and then another one, and then there's like three different suburbs, you know, I've lived in.
Every time somebody's like, "What part of Chicago are you from?" I'm like, well, it's out where the tornadoes start.
Yeah,
that's the best distance, at least that I can describe how far from downtown.
When you had tornadoes as a kid, did your folks like watch from the porch, or did you guys get in the basement?
Yeah, no, it was thunderstorms were a celebration.
Yeah,
my mom loved thunderstorms, and that, like, I do too. I think they're a blast.
They are,
you know. I wish, but it was always, we'd always be outside, or, you know, you'd sit in a garage if it was going crazy.
Yeah.
And then I just distinct memories of my mom freaking, like, she'd be like, those birds are flying weird. Oh, it's debris. It's debris. Like, that was the sign of the tornado. Was it the trash was like in a weird high up spot? And it was like, that's debris. And we had to do two things, which was like grab the little black box, all the house paperwork.
Yeah.
Like of all the mortgage papers and find a cat. That was two things. It was like, They yell at my sister, get the cat, and me to get the black box, and then we got to run in the basement.
Yeah, there's very rare times where you actually make it to the basement, you know? That siren goes off. That's like a dinner bell for the show, you know? The show's about to start.
I'm not like, that's not making light of like how gnarly it is. We were always like the suburb over Lombard was always a spot where it's always like, there's somebody saw a funnel cloud over Glenbard East, which was the high school. Like that was just close enough to must be like, we could sit on a porch until like the warning is within maybe like 5 miles. Like, all right, now we got to get in the basement.
Yeah.
But yeah, they never hit Addison. Yeah, they never hit Addison.
Back then there wasn't really that, you know, there wasn't the app on your phone where you could literally see the radar. So, you know, like how screwed you are at any given time. So you kind of just played it by the feel, by the debris, as you say.
By the emergency warning system on the TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that was like, if that came on, you're like, oh, real. It's going down. That was usually the indicator. If it was like, yep, it's for real now.
Yeah. If you actually have a touchdown with it.
Yeah. It's a little thrill. It's a little summertime thrill, you know?
Have you ever gone your way up to the UP and done any shows up there?
I haven't done shows in the UP. I was camping there two summers ago. I don't know if we made it all the way up to UP on that one, but that was like early comedy was the Upers for me. Introduced to the Upers like as a child.
Yeah,
like a 6 year old, like the first time you hear grandma got run over by a reindeer, right? Like studio recording quality.
Yeah,
these guys are singing about farts and beer. I like
it. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I listened to them as a kid too.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel says it's at war, with fighting still taking over some streets in the southern part of the country. The BBC's Joe Floto.
The focus today is to start evacuating thousands of Israeli citizens who live along that border in that tree, and we've seen lots of tanks being brought on the road.
Israel has confirmed at least 600 deaths, most of them civilians. Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz said on NBC a new House Speaker will be voted in soon. He called for the vote that ousted Kevin McCarthy.
We've got two great men running for Speaker, Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise. I reject the premise that this is going to drag on for weeks.
More than 1,000 birds died when they collided with the Chicago building last week. WBBM-TV's Mary Bell Gonzalez.
The problem with these glass windows, experts say, is that oftentimes the birds will see the skyline or the trees reflected off of them, causing them to get confused and collide right into them.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
If
you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Kripescast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Kripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Folks, if you are just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens, and I'm talking with comedian Kyle Kinane on Civic Media.
What would you say, like, the biggest difference is living out there versus, like, the Midwest?
I mean, difference-wise, I don't know. I think everything got kind of homogenized with the internet. Like, every scene is... Like, if you're into music, you get to find what music you like online and start that band in your town.
Yeah.
Food or this or that. There's not... I've been up here 3 years, so a lot of that was pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of it is just getting used to, like... Like, it just started, right? Like, this, it went from summer, and now it started being gray and rainy, and it's going to be this way for 7 months. And that's it. You just deal with it. Everything you do, you're just going to go and be wet. Anything you want to do, you don't use an umbrella, put on your raincoat. You want to jog, you jog in your raincoat. You run, yeah. Ride bikes, you ride bikes in your raincoat. Yeah. Hang out, sit on the street corner, talking to your neighbors in the rain with your raincoat. It's accepted. And I'm kind of having a hard time adjusting to that. Because, I mean, I hate winter. I hate, like... From, like, a little kid, as soon as, like, you went from playing in the snow to having to shovel it to go to work, I'm like, yeah, this, I don't like the season at all. I don't snow. I don't ski. I don't snowboard. I never embraced any of the winter sports. So that's when it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. And you, like, at the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. I'm like, if I'm going to be sad, like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach. Yeah. It's harder to be sad in Los Angeles than it is, yeah, New York.
That's true. That's true. Where did, where'd you move? Or when did you move out to LA?
I got out there in 2003.
So you, like, put in what 3-4 years of comedy in Chicago, and then
I did 4 years there, and then it kind of, because I, you know, and I don't know your history in comedy so much, like, how long before you moved or what have you, but it was, guys would come back to the open mics that were like, they quit their job and they're gonna go do these triple runs and all those kind of things, and they're like, well, yeah, I had to drive 9 hours in a blizzard to get to the next gig, and I made $60 there, and then it was 12 hours to the next show, and I made $75 there. And I'm like, that sounds like I would hate that.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, oh, that would ruin my love for comedy if, yeah, I tried to make a living out of it from Chicago,
right?
So I was like, I'll just take my chance and move to California and see if I could, like, build up a reputation there, so then I can go and do those same runs, but for, like, $130 instead of $60.
Right. Did you, because you were coming up, you know, that at that point, there wasn't like social media was a thing popping you yeah. off or anything. So did what clubs were, did you start off or what mics were you starting off with?
In, you mean in LA or?
Yeah, in LA.
It was, I'm not a real self-starter. So I mean, I could admit that I got out there and I was just having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was sunny and all my friends just got out there. And so I do the improv a little bit here and there. There was parts where, I mean, maybe I sound like a jerk, but I was like, you know, you go to the Laugh Factory, excuse me. And the Laugh Factory would have this line around the block, like, well, you got to sign up. You got to get in line at 4 o'clock.
Right.
So to maybe you can get on the list at like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
To then do the open mic 3 weeks later. And I just saw that. I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, that's just extortion. That's not how you make it. That's all pageantry. That's a lie. Like, that's not how you get good at comedy. Like, I still am trying to, like, write stuff and develop. And so the improv, I knew guys that had put on shows there, and I kind of got on the regulars list there. But just, like, I mean, I based everything on music, how I saw bands that I like, you know, underground bands just playing shows wherever they could and building up an actual following as opposed to some flash in the pan, who's the hot thing now. Cause I mean, I got to LA when Dane Cook was like the lord of comedy.
Right.
You know, not to say I'm sure the guy's, you know, fine with his pile of money right now, but it still seemed like temporary to me, even though it was like the biggest thing in the world. I'm like, I don't know about the sustainability and getting caught up. Like, I still remember the 80s hair metal scene and not a lot of those bands stuck around, right, you know, right. Like, I don't want that momentary fame. I want some like slow burning, like, let me just be able to keep doing this kind of thing. So I saw it was kind of the beginning of the alternative, quote unquote, alternative scene.
Yeah.
You know, beginning of the 2000s. So seeing people like Patton Oswalt or like pre movie famous Zach Galifianakis and stuff do all these weird shows and be experimental, like, oh, I want to be around that stuff.
Yeah, that is a more sustainable. I feel like getting skyrocketed into fame real quick comes with a lot more it's a lot more burden, because then all of a sudden, you know, if you're kind of like steadily growing, you've got the opportunity to get up there and like try some new stuff and really bomb and eat it, you know, and learn something. Yeah. Whereas if you're always feel like you got to be like super there, you know, that can be, I feel like that could be detrimental. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you get to make all these, you know, micro adjustments as you're growing, as opposed to like, oh, you blew up with this one thing. Now you're world famous, but anything you do is going to be examined and dissected, and we're gonna look to take you down because now you're top of the food chain. Somebody's gonna look to take you down. Where it's like sneaking along, all of a sudden, like, yeah, this guy's funny. Also, LA was like, you saw people that had like 99% hustle and 1% talent get opportunities and then blow those opportunities because they didn't have the talent to back up what they hustled for themselves.
100%.
And inversely, I also saw people with 99% talent and 1% hustle just kind of hang back, waiting for something to happen to them. I was like, nah, I think it's more of like an 80-20 split. You got to go on this stuff.
Yeah. No, it is true. Like, you know, LA is the place where there's, you know, networking is king, at least for the time when I first got out there. And it was like, I was so bad at that stuff. Mm-hmm. Man, and auditioning, you know, if you can get an audition, but yeah, then there's so much pressure on that 30 seconds you're in front of a casting director. I was so bad at that. Do you audition a lot?
No, I mean, I moved out there to be a stand-up. Yeah. I you'd get it. Like, some stuff would happen. I remember like walking into like the waiting room and seeing the guy who should get the job. I'm like, this guy's hilarious. You should give it to him.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm doing here. I'm going to go home. This guy's funny. Okay. Congratulations, buddy. You deserve this.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, I mean, I kind of divorced myself from the showbiz part of stuff a few years back where, like, I'm just doing stand-up, and if somebody would like me for a thing, then I'd be happy to do it. But this to stay in town and drive all over all day doing auditions, and I'm like, ah, no, I don't want to do that.
No, no. I remember doing that for, like, commercials. That was the worst, man, because you spend 2 hours round trip getting to Santa Monica from North Hollywood, and then you like – smile the wrong way. And I got a bad authentic smile, or, you know, or like a bad pretend smile. I don't know if my authentic one's any better, but I could not do that commercials. But so much time wasted just driving.
Yeah, I don't believe that you sincerely appreciate the absorbency of these paper towels that you're trying to sell right now.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. I don't give a Yeah,
I don't know. Well, they're going to clean up my tears and maybe some blood later because they towed my minivan I live in. Will that sell them? Will that help sell them?
You got to use it. Use what you got.
Okay, let me go a little more method with these paper towels. I didn't mean to kill her. Oh, God. When did you live out there?
I lived out there twice. I lived out there when I first graduated for a year. I was at a production company. And then I went around the country doing news, of all things, because that's what I went to school for. And then I moved back and I did some, like, red carpet reporting, which is the worst kind of reporting you can do. Hated that stuff.
The step and repeat things that were.
No one wants to be on a red carpet. Not the people who are there, not the people who are asking the questions, you know?
There's a couple of things that I had participated in where that was the option. And I'm like, can I just walk around the back of this? Nobody knows who I am. I'm like, is there a side door? I'm just trying to get to the open. I just want to get to the open bar and watch the movie. Can I just go around? Nobody knows who I am. I look like I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's kind of the way I would do it. I would always talk to the people like that I didn't know who they were, and I don't think they knew why they were talking to me. And I was just trying to get something, you know. And I would have like four of those, and then I get back to the office, they'd be like, "Who's this?" I was like, "I don't know. Let's just post it. I don't know." You
know? I think he was doing the lighting. I don't know. It's the behind the scenes. That's what you got to appreciate these things.
It's the art. That's a journal. It couldn't have been done without this guy, you know?
Yeah, it's a get to know you moment. You know, it's a real, more of a local news. Like, find out who's picking up your trash.
Right.
Who's the guy? Humanize these people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you're out. And then, like, when kind of would you say, that, you know, you got to a place where you felt like, you know, this is my thing. This is my career. I'm making money doing this. It's feeling good. I'm confident in it.
Honestly, maybe like 6 months ago. I bought a house this year. And that was like, after 20 plus years of doing stand up, I'm like, all right, I think this thing might be working out. Let's go ahead and have a little semblance of permanence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I bought a little tidy house. And even then, as soon as I did that, I'm like, well, what if, I don't know, what if something comes up where I drew some racist stuff on a picture of my sister's kittens on Facebook 13 years ago, and that comes out and my career's over? Like all of it, just the paranoia of like, what if you're just not funny anymore? And this is the moment that you're not funny anymore, is the moment you owe a bank money. So,
yeah,
I think that's just a Midwest thing of like, You don't bet on yourself. You're like, well, it's good, but I don't know. Some could happen. I don't know.
I do think that's a Midwest mentality thing, because you're always, you grow up surrounded by that, you know, and probably for good reason. It keeps you humble, keeps you working hard, you know, but
yeah,
doesn't always give you the most confidence when you're making life-changing financial decisions.
No, or the idea that like nobody deserves good fortune. So like if you get some good fortune, it makes you even more paranoid because I'm like, well, now something's bad has to go wrong. Like nothing bad has happened in a while. So now I'm just like, because things have been fine, I'm like, something's around the corner.
I got that same thing. Were you raised Catholic by chance?
Of course, man. Yeah. Where do you think this comes from?
I know. It's like you grow up with the fear of hell, and then at some point you're like, hell's not real. You know, that's not gonna be the deal. And then you have to constantly fill that void of hell in your life to find something to make a hell happen. You know,
hell's not real, but now who do I ask forgiveness from on a regular basis if I don't believe in God anymore?
Right. What
hippie tree god can like let a leaf fall in my path that says you're fine today, buddy. Calm down.
See, I've taken it where I believe in God. I believe in heaven. Some version of that. I've just taken out the bad part of it. I'm like, if the God in my mind, what's the point of that? Logically, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, logically, the whole world doesn't make sense. But and then I'll just fill that bad void with, I'm gonna be like my car's gonna get repossessed, and then lo and behold, that happens. You know,
as soon as you were describing that stuff, I was like, he's Catholic. That's it right there. Raised Catholic. And it hit me hard too. There was like a moment where it's like, well, if everything's a sin, I don't know. Like what? Yeah. like confession. Like when you don't even feel good after confession, cause you didn't tell them the things you wanted to confess. Oh, like, Here's the moment to scrub it all off. You're like, I swore in front of my mom. You're like, wasn't even close to what I wanted to tell them.
Yeah. I would make up stuff in confession. Cause I didn't want to say the stuff I actually wanted to confess. Yeah. I'm like, I can't say this stuff in church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The stuff I'm doing to my body right now, buddy, it is wild. And then you look back, you're like, thank God I didn't tell that guy that stuff.
Did you go to the Catholic school?
No, I just did CCD.
CCD,
Sunday school.
Yeah, so. I did some of that too. Yeah, it's a crazy thing. Yeah. Anyway, where are you playing? You're playing Milwaukee, right? Coming up,
playing Milwaukee, playing old Pabst Theater.
Pabst Theater. God, that's a great venue, man.
I was excited. I was playing Turner Hall, and now I'm doing the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. They're like, we're going to put you into Pabst. And again, it's like that. It's like a big thing. Like, it'll be fine. I'm like, I don't know if I deserve the Pabst. Turner Hall was nice. They got the netting up because the old ceiling falls on the audience. Like, that's kind of my speed, you know?
Yeah. There's a lot more room work that you can do in Turner Hall, you know, with the netting and the bar in back, you know, the Pabst is gorgeous, you know, they got ghosts there though. So you can.
Oh, of course they do. Well, Turner Hall is like, Turner Hall is just $50 handed to a building inspector every time they come in here. Like, you can't be having people. How about a little one of these guys? Okay. This just bought you 6 more months of being a entertainment venue. That's classy.
Yeah, it is. They got a cool,
which
green
is a
room
phrase
too.
You'd never say anywhere else in the world. No.
Yeah. That's cool. So when is that coming up?
That is, I believe, is it October 7th soon? I'm going to have to look. Let me go to the charts. October 7th. Yeah, like soon, a couple weeks.
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah, it's a great venue. Super fun there.
I'm excited. Yeah. I opened for Patton Oswalt there maybe 12 years ago. So to be playing those venues myself now feels pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Congrats on that. Congrats on that. That'll be super cool. Are you, you've been to Milwaukee a few times. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you like doing there aside for Walski's? You got to hang out there.
Walski's was fun. I remember, I'm sure it's like a tourist place now, but learning about the Safe House.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, getting to go to the Safe House before, like, I remember going up to do the open mic at the Safe House when I still lived in Chicago. and not realizing what the bar was. Like, I just, like, we made a little pilgrimage, like, let's do an open mic somewhere else, you know, and seeing a guy like Tom Clark and stuff, like, oh, they got whole different kind of guys that are funny up here.
Yeah.
But the Safe House was just, it's such a neat place that, you know, now social media is going to point out anything that's neat and it won't be that neat anymore.
I know. That's so the thing with social media, man.
I went to 1996. I went to me and my buddies. We're in community college and we had our spring break. Like, what should we do? And we're like, let's go to Milwaukee. We went to Atomic Records. And I think we might have stopped at the Mars Cheese Castle on the way back down. Spring break in Milwaukee, 96.
Well, you being in the suburbs too, you must have been surrounded by people that would go up to Lake Geneva and whatnot, have a lake house somewhere in Wisconsin.
Oh, that was, yeah, one of my earliest jokes was how many fake businesses I can make up that what's his name that does Wisconsin Dells?
Oh, Tommy Bartlett?
Tommy Bartlett, yeah. Like, I just went by Tommy Bartlett's Planned Parenthood and Tommy Bartlett's nuclear collider.
Yeah. Did you go to Wisconsin Dells as a kid?
Oh, yeah. We went to Dells as a kid. We'd go camping at the Yogi Bear campgrounds.
Yeah.
We'd get in trouble being faced at the Yogi Bear campgrounds.
Did you go to the water slides?
We didn't do this. You know what we did? We did the Big Chief race carts.
Oh.
Which I thought was fascinating because, yeah, the wooden spiral for go-karts and the track. Like, I truly miss unsanctioned, adventure rides that clearly have been sued out of existence nowadays. Yeah. Not to be like, oh, back in my day, again, like, these, there's a lot of these things that should be gone, but when you got to hang out, like the Alpine slides and stuff, yeah, absolutely.
Now they've got the go-kart races, the big Trojan horse. They've got this big wooden Trojan horse there, and that's what the go-karts are around. It's awesome.
And I saw a kid. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying that an upside down White House. I mean, it's a magical place. The Wisconsin Dells is.
I saw a kid get spun out on the because you go down the wooden ramp on the go-karts, which if you were a kid, the go-karts, you know, you stuck to it. But if you were an adult of weight, you would just hit those bumps and just shoot down. I saw one kid get smacked. It's like his helmet was sideways. And he somehow drove out of the service entrance for the track and was just driving around where the people were walking to get in line. And the employees were like, no, no. And this kid had his helmet covered his face. Like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, this place rules.
Yeah, it's a magical place. Oh, last question, because we had some fan questions. I think I got them all, but I wanted to ask this. How did you end up getting the voice of Comedy Central?
Oh, I think I just had done some stand up for them. And then there's a real soft takeoff into that job. Also a soft landing. Like, oh, you want to come in and read some of these ads? I'm like, all right, sure. Hey, South Park's coming up. Like, hey, you want to come in next week? Read some of these ads? Like, yeah, all right. I'm like, are you guys going to pay me? What's going on here? Like, all right, come in next week and do it. Like, and then I just all of a sudden had that job.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they were auditioning people, but I was like, oh, I took it from somebody else. But it was like Penn Jillette was who was doing it before me. I'm like, oh, wow. I think he's doing all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think he's doing just fine. But then now my buddy David Borey does that job. He got it the same way.
He
went up to me. We were out one night and he's like, hey man, are you still doing those Comedy Central voiceovers? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Why? He's like, because I'm doing them.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts: Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.